Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Summer vacation at the beach house was something I looked forward to all year. My family had owned the house for generations, and every summer, we would pack up our car and head to the coast for 2 weeks of sun, sand, and relaxation. The house itself was a charming, weathered building, perched on a cliff overlooking the ocean. It had a wraparound porch, large windows, and a cozy, inviting atmosphere that always made me feel at home. This summer was no different. My parents, my younger sister Zoe, and I arrived at the beach house on a bright, sunny afternoon. The air was filled with the salty scent of the ocean, and the sound of waves crashing against the shore was a constant, soothing presence. We spent the first day unpacking, settling in, and exploring the familiar surroundings. It was the perfect start to what I hoped would be a perfect vacation. The first few days were blissful. We swam in the ocean, built sandcastles, and had picnics on the beach. At night, we would sit on the porch, watching the sun set over the water and listening to the distant call of seagulls. It was peaceful and idyllic, a much-needed escape from the stresses of everyday life. One evening, after a long day of beach activities, we decided to have a barbecue. My dad fired up the grill while my mom prepared the side dishes. Zoe and I set the table on the porch, arranging plates, utensils, and napkins. The smell of grilling meat filled the air, making my stomach growl with anticipation. As we sat down to eat, the sky turned a deep shade of orange, the sun dipping below the horizon. We laughed and talked, enjoying each other's company and the delicious food. It was one of those perfect summer nights that you wish could last forever. After dinner, we decided to play a board game. We gathered around the coffee table in the living room, the sound of the ocean providing a gentle backdrop to our laughter and friendly competition. It was during one of these moments of fun and camaraderie that I first noticed something strange. I was about to roll the dice when I saw a flicker of movement outside the window. It was quick, almost imperceptible, but enough to catch my attention. I glanced up, peering into the darkness, but saw nothing. I shook my head, chalking it up to my imagination and the shadows cast by the flickering porch light. "Your turn," Zoe said, nudging me. I rolled the dice and continued with the game, trying to ignore the nagging feeling of unease that had settled in my stomach. The night wore on, and eventually, we decided to call it a night. We cleaned up the game, said our goodnights, and retreated to our respective rooms. My room was on the second floor, with a large window that overlooked the ocean. I left the window open, letting the cool sea breeze fill the room as I climbed into bed. The rhythmic sound of the waves was calming, and I soon drifted off to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, I was jolted awake by a loud noise. It sounded like something heavy had fallen over. I sat up, my heart pounding, and listened intently. The house was silent, except for the faint sound of the ocean. I waited, straining to hear any other noises, but there was nothing. After a few minutes, I convinced myself that it was just the wind or an animal and tried to go back to sleep. The next morning, I mentioned the noise to my parents, but they dismissed it as the house settling or a raccoon rummaging through the trash. I tried to put it out of my mind and focus on enjoying the day. We spent the morning on the beach, soaking up the sun and playing in the waves. But the unease from the night before lingered, a persistent shadow that I couldn't shake. That evening, as the sun set and we gathered on the porch for another barbecue, I couldn't help but feel a sense of foreboding. The sky was a brilliant display of colors, but my mind was preoccupied with the strange noise from the night before. As we ate, I kept glancing at the window, half expecting to see something or someone staring back at me. After dinner, we decided to take a walk on the beach. The cool sand felt good under my feet, and the sound of the waves was soothing. We walked in companionable silence, enjoying the peacefulness of the evening. But as we made our way back to the house, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. That night, I had trouble falling asleep. Every creak of the house, every rustle of the wind seemed amplified in the darkness. I tossed and turned, my mind racing with thoughts of what could have caused the noise. Just as I was starting to drift off, I heard it again, the same loud crash that had woken me the night before. This time, I jumped out of bed and ran to the window. I peer out into the darkness, my eyes scanning the yard for any signs of movement. At first, I saw nothing. But then, out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of something moving near the edge of the porch. I froze, my heart pounding in my chest. I could barely make out the figure of a man, crouching near the steps. He seemed to be searching for something, his movements slow and deliberate. I watched in horror as he stood up and started walking toward the house. I backed away from the window, my mind racing. I had to do something, but what? My parents were asleep, and I didn't want to wake them unless I was sure of what I had seen. I grabbed my phone and crept out of my room, heading for the stairs. As I made my way down the hallway, I heard another noise, a soft, almost imperceptible tapping. It was coming from the front door. I stopped, my breath catching in my throat. The tapping continued, growing louder and more insistent. I reached the top of the stairs and peered down into the foyer. The front door was partially...
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Open, and I could see the shadow of the man through the gap. He was standing just outside, his hand resting on the door frame. "Mom! Dad!" I shouted, my voice trembling with fear. The house erupted into chaos. My parents came rushing out of their room, my dad grabbing a baseball bat from under the bed. We hurried down the stairs, my dad leading the way. As we reached the foyer, the man outside the door took off running, disappearing into the night. My dad called the police, and we spent the next few hours talking to the officers and trying to piece together what had happened. The man had left no trace, no clues as to who he was or why he had been lurking around our beach house. The police promised to increase patrols in the area, but the experience had shattered our sense of security. We spent the rest of the vacation on edge, constantly looking over our shoulders and double-checking the locks on the doors and windows. To this day, I don't know who the man was or what he wanted. The memory of that night still haunts me, a reminder of the unexpected dangers that can lurk in even the most idyllic settings. The beach house, once a place of comfort and joy, now held a shadow of fear that I couldn't shake. It was a stark reminder that sometimes, the scariest things aren't the monsters we imagine, but the real-life intruders who can turn our safe havens into places of terror. The weekend camping trip had been planned for months. My friends and I were looking forward to escaping the city, immersing ourselves in nature, and disconnecting from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. We chose a remote campsite deep in the woods, far from any other campers, where we could enjoy the serenity and seclusion. The journey to the campsite was filled with laughter and excitement. We sang along to our favorite songs, shared stories, and joked about who would be the first to get spooked by the sounds of the forest at night. The drive took several hours, and as we ventured deeper into the wilderness, the roads became narrower and more rugged. By the time we arrived, the sun was beginning to set, casting long shadows through the trees. We quickly set up our tents and gathered firewood, eager to start the evening. The crackling campfire soon became the heart of our campsite, providing warmth and light as darkness enveloped the forest. We roasted marshmallows, cooked hot dogs, and indulged in s'mores, the sweet treats melting in our mouths as we reminisced about past adventures. The first few hours were idyllic. The fire cast a comforting glow, and the sounds of the forest, crickets chirping, leaves rustling, and the occasional hoot of an owl, created a peaceful ambience. As the night wore on, we decided to tell ghost stories, each one more spine-chilling than the last. It was during one of these stories that I first noticed the figure. I was midway through a particularly creepy tale when I caught a glimpse of movement out of the corner of my eye. At first, I thought it was just my imagination, fueled by the eerie atmosphere we had created. But as I continued my story, I saw it again, a shadowy figure lurking just beyond the reach of the firelight. "Did you see that?" I whispered, interrupting my own story. "See what?" Emma asked, looking around. "I thought I saw someone, out there," I said, pointing into the darkness. "Probably just an animal," Mark chimed in, trying to reassure me. "We're in the middle of the woods, after all." I nodded, but the unease settled in my stomach refused to dissipate. We continued with our stories, but my mind kept wandering back to the figure I had seen. The fire crackled, and the shadows danced, making it difficult to discern what was real and what was a trick of the light. As the night grew colder, we decided to call it a night and retreated to our tents. The sounds of the forest seemed louder in the quiet of the night, and I struggled to fall asleep, every rustle and snap making me jump. Just as I was drifting off, I heard it, a soft, almost imperceptible whisper. "Help me." I sat up, my heart pounding in my chest. I strained to listen, but all I heard was the wind rustling the leaves. I tried to convince myself that it was just my imagination, but the voice had sounded so real, so desperate. I glanced over at Jess, who was sound asleep, and debated whether to wake her. In the end, I decided against it, not wanting to seem paranoid. The next morning, I brushed off the night's events as a product of an overactive imagination. We spent the day hiking, swimming in the nearby lake, and exploring the surrounding woods. It was the perfect summer day, and I began to relax, the memories of the night before fading with each passing hour. As the sun began to set once again, we returned to our campsite, ready for another night of fun around the campfire. We cooked dinner and shared more stories, the fire crackling merrily as we laughed and joked. But as darkness fell, the unease I had felt the previous night began to creep back in. We decided to go for a short walk to stretch our legs before settling in for the night. The path through the woods was narrow and winding, the trees forming a dense canopy overhead. We chatted and laughed, our flashlights cutting through the darkness, when I saw it again, the figure, standing motionless among the trees. "Did you see that?" I asked, my voice trembling. This time, everyone saw it. The figure stood still for a moment before disappearing into the darkness. We hurried back to the campsite, our nerves on edge. Once we were safely back by the fire, we tried to rationalize what we had seen. Maybe it was another camper or a park ranger, we told ourselves. But deep down, we knew something wasn't right. We decided to stay up together, not wanting to be alone in our tents. The fire burned low, casting long shadows that seemed to move and shift with every flicker of the flames. The night was eerily quiet, the usual sounds of the forest replaced by an oppressive silence. Hours passed, and just as we were beginning to relax, we heard it, a rustling sound, followed by footsteps. They were slow, deliberate, and getting closer. We grabbed our flashlights and shone them into the darkness, but saw nothing. The footsteps continued, circling our campsite, the sound growing louder and more menacing. "Who's there?" Mark called out, his voice shaking. There was no response, just the sound of footsteps and the occasional snap of a twig. We huddled together, our flashlights scanning the darkness, but we saw nothing. The fear was palpable, our breaths coming in ragged gasps as we tried to make sense of what was happening. Then, just as suddenly as it had started, the noise stopped. The silence was deafening, the tension so thick it was almost suffocating. We waited, barely daring to breathe, but nothing happened. Eventually, exhaustion overtook us, and we fell into a fitful sleep, the fire burning low. The next morning, we woke to find our campsite undisturbed, no sign of the intruder. We packed up quickly, eager to leave the woods behind. As we drove away, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched, the memory of those footsteps haunting me. To this day, I don't know who, or what, was out there in the woods with us. Was it a person playing a cruel joke, or something more sinister? The experience left me with a deep-seated fear of camping in remote places, a fear that lingers even now. It was a stark reminder that sometimes, the scariest things aren't the stories we tell around the campfire, but the ones that come to life in the darkness. I've always loved hiking. There's something so freeing about strapping on a backpack, lacing up your boots, and heading into the woods with nothing but the trail ahead and the wild expanse around you. This summer, I decided to tackle a challenging trail that wound through a dense forest and up into the mountains. It was a 5-day hike, and I was looking forward to the solitude and the beauty of nature. The first few days were everything I had hoped for. The trail was well marked, and the scenery was breathtaking. I hiked through sun-dappled glades, crossed babbling brooks, and climbed rocky inclines that offered stunning views of the valley below. At night, I set up my tent in quiet clearings, lulled to sleep by the sounds of the forest. On the third day, the weather turned. Dark clouds gathered on the horizon, and the air grew heavy with the promise of rain. I quickened my pace, hoping to reach a campsite marked on my map before the storm hit. The trail grew steeper, winding through thick stands of trees that blocked out much of the light. The forest seemed to close in around me, the silence broken only by the occasional rustle of leaves or the distant call of a bird. I was just beginning to worry that I wouldn't make it to the campsite in time when I saw something that made my heart leap into my throat. Standing at the edge of the trail, half hidden by the trees, was a man. He was tall and thin, with a wild shock of hair and eyes that seemed to pierce right through me. He was wearing old, tattered clothes and carried a large, worn-out backpack. "Hey there!" I called out, trying to sound friendly despite the unease that was creeping over me. "Are you lost?" The man didn't respond. He just stood there, staring at me with an intensity that made my skin crawl. I took a step back, my instincts screaming at me to get away from him. But the trail was narrow, and I had nowhere to go. "I'm just trying to get to the campsite before the storm," I said, forcing a smile. "Do you know if I'm on the right path?" Again, no response. The man continued to stare, his eyes dark and unblinking. I could feel my heart pounding in my chest, the hair on the back of my neck standing on end. I decided to keep moving, hoping that he would leave me alone. As I walked past him, I could feel his eyes on me, burning into my back. I quickened my pace, my mind racing with thoughts of what he might do. I kept looking over my shoulder, expecting to see him following me, but he remained where he was, watching me until I was out of sight. The storm hit just as I reached the campsite. The rain came down in sheets, drenching me to the bone as I struggled to set up my tent. The wind howled through the trees, and the thunder rumbled ominously overhead. I huddled inside my tent, trying to shake off the encounter with the strange man and focus on staying dry and warm. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every creak of the trees, every rustle of the leaves seemed magnified in the darkness. I kept thinking about the man, wondering who he was and why he had been out there in the middle of nowhere. Was he lost? Dangerous? My mind conjured up all sorts of possibilities, none of them comforting. Around midnight, I heard a sound that sent a chill down my spine. It was a soft, shuffling noise, like someone moving through the underbrush. I held my breath, straining to hear over the pounding of the rain. The noise grew closer, accompanied by the occasional snap of a twig or the rustle of leaves. Someone was out there, moving toward my tent. I grabbed my flashlight and turned it on, the beam cutting through the darkness. I unzipped the tent flap just enough to peer outside, my heart racing. The rain had turned the campsite into a muddy mess, the trees swaying ominously in the wind. But I saw no one. I scanned the area, the flashlight beam flickering as I tried to steady my shaking hand. Just as I was about to convince myself that it was nothing, I saw him. The man from the trail, standing at the edge of the campsite, partially obscured by the trees. He was closer this time, his eyes fixed on my tent. "Who are you?" I called out, my voice trembling. "What do you want?" The man didn't answer. He just stood there, watching me with that same unsettling intensity. I felt a surge of fear and anger. I wasn't about to let this stranger ruin my trip or intimidate me. "I'm calling the Rangers," I shouted, hoping to scare him off. "They'll be here any minute." The man remained silent, unmoving. I backed into my tent, zipping up the flap and clutching my flashlight like a weapon. I knew there was no cell service out here, and the nearest ranger station was miles away. But I hoped the threat would be enough to make him leave. The minutes dragged by, each one feeling like an eternity. The rain continued to pour, the wind howling through the trees. I kept my flashlight trained on the tent flap, listening for any sign of movement outside. Eventually, the shuffling noise faded, and the campsite grew quiet once more. I waited for what felt like hours, too afraid to move or even breathe. Finally, exhaustion overtook me, and I drifted off into a fitful sleep. When I woke up the next morning, the storm had passed, leaving the campsite drenched and muddy. I cautiously unzipped the tent and stepped outside, scanning the area for any sign of the man. There was nothing. No footprints, no disturbed vegetation. It was as if he had never been there. I packed up my gear quickly, eager to leave the campsite and put as much distance between myself and the strange man as possible. As I hiked back to the main trail, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Every rustle of the leaves, every snap of a twig set my nerves on edge. The rest of the hike passed in a blur of anxiety and paranoia. I kept looking over my shoulder, half expecting to see the man following me. But I never saw him again. When I finally reached the trailhead and the safety of my car, I felt a wave of relief wash over me. I loaded my gear into the trunk and took one last look at the forest. It seemed so peaceful and serene, belying the terror I had experienced. I drove home in silence, my mind replaying the events of the past few days. I couldn't explain what had happened or why the man had been out there. But one thing was certain, I would never forget the fear and uncertainty I had felt. The experience changed the way I viewed hiking and the wilderness. What had once been a source of joy and freedom now held a shadow of fear. I still love the outdoors, but I approached it with a new sense of caution and respect for the unknown. To this day, I wonder about the man in the forest. Who was he? What did he want? The lack of answers leaves a lingering sense of unease. The lights of the summer fair glowed brightly against the darkening sky as I walked through the entrance with my friends. The scent of cotton candy, popcorn, and fried dough filled the air, blending with the sounds of laughter, carnival music, and the clinking of game tokens. It was the perfect summer evening, and I felt a sense of freedom and excitement that only the fair could bring. We started with the rides, screaming our lungs out on the roller coaster and laughing as the Ferris wheel took us high above the fairground, offering a breathtaking view of the twinkling lights below. It was on the Ferris wheel that I first noticed him, a man standing alone by the bumper cars, his face obscured by the shadow of his hat. Something about the way he stood, motionless amidst the bustling crowd, sent a chill down my spine. But I quickly dismissed it, chalking it up to an overactive imagination. As the night wore on, we moved from ride to ride, our laughter echoing through the fairground. We played games, winning stuffed animals and trinkets, and indulged in too much junk food. Yet, every now and then, I would catch a glimpse of that same man, always standing just at the edge of the crowd, always watching. I told myself it was just a coincidence, but the unease in my gut grew stronger with each sighting. "Hey, are you okay?" my friend Jess asked, noticing my distraction as we made our way to the haunted house attraction. "Yeah, just... I think someone might be following us," I replied, glancing around nervously. Jess laughed. "You're just being paranoid. It's a crowded fair. Everyone's here to have a good time." I tried to shake off the feeling and forced myself to enjoy the haunted house. The cheesy jump scares and animatronic ghosts made us scream and laugh, but even in the dim, strobe-lit corridors, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. As we exited the haunted house, I saw him again, standing by the entrance, his eyes fixed on us. My heart raced, and I pulled Jess aside. "That's him," I whispered. "The guy I keep seeing. He's been following us." Jess turned to look, but the man had disappeared into the crowd. "Maybe you just need a break," she suggested. "Let's find the others and get some food." We regrouped with our friends at a food stall, the scent of greasy fries and hot dogs momentarily distracting me from my fear. As we sat down to eat, I kept scanning the crowd, but there was no sign of the man. I began to relax, convincing myself that it had all been in my head. Just as we finished eating, the fairground lights flickered, casting eerie shadows over the stalls and rides. A sudden hush fell over the crowd, followed by murmurs of confusion. The lights flickered again, then went out completely, plunging us into darkness. The only illumination came from the distant Ferris wheel, its lights spinning lazily in the night. Panic began to ripple through the crowd. Parents called for their children, and the carnival workers scrambled to restore the lights. My friends and I huddled together, using our phone flashlights to cut through the darkness. The air felt thick with tension, and my unease returned full force. "Let's get out of here," I suggested, my voice trembling. "This doesn't feel right." We made our way through the crowd, heading towards the exit. As we passed the bumper cars, I felt a hand grab my arm. I turned, my heart leaping into my throat, only to see the man standing there, his grip tight and unyielding. "Let go of me!" I yelled, trying to pull away, but he held on, his eyes dark and menacing. "You're not leaving," he said, his voice low and threatening. My friends rushed to my aid, and together we managed to break free from his grip. We ran towards the exit, the fairground lights suddenly flickering back on, casting an eerie glow over the scene. We didn't stop until we were safely outside the fair, our breaths coming in ragged gasps. We reported the incident to the fairground security, but when they searched the area, the man was nowhere to be found. They assured us that they would keep an eye out, but the experience had shaken us to our core. As we walked back to our cars, the night's events replayed in my mind, the man's cold grip and threatening words lingering like a dark cloud. The summer fair, once a place of joy and excitement, had turned into a nightmare. Even now, I can't help but feel a chill whenever I think about that night. I never saw the man again, but the fear he instilled in me remains. It was a harsh reminder that even in the midst of fun and laughter, danger can lurk just around the corner, watching and waiting.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.